Welcome to the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, your best podcast spot for all things Cleveland Guardians baseball. Presented by WaitingForNextYear.com. Follow Matt on Twitter at Dairy Speaks and Todd at TDGuardiansKU. The Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast is on the air.
All right, we're back, everybody. Another episode of the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, spring training edition, following a Shane Bieber gem. Come on, bring on the Reds. Let's go. Bring them all on. Matt and Todd with you, WaitingForNextYear.com, the Evergreen Podcast Network, brought to you by Rise and Grind Fitness, brought to you by Dairy, Breaking Tea T-shirts, BreakingTea.com/Dairy. Executive producer the other day asking for the, he wanted the link. Did he not?
Yeah, he wants to hook a brother up. That's he's a good man.
He's buying shirts.
The executive producer.
And also, of course, we're brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry, CFAD.net. Matt and Todd with you. Getting closer, Todd, to the regular season starting. We are just 10 days away, my man. How about that shortstop competition?
Yeah.
Man, I was listening to the game last night, and Hammy was just railing on Gabe Arias. It was great.
Yeah, well, it would help if Rocchio, it's like Arias is doing everything at the plate to not get the job, and yet Rocchio hasn't done a thing to seize it. I would, honestly, I'd start Tyler Freeman at shortstop. I would.
Yeah.
I would play him four times a week at short and twice a week in center, for three times a week in center field. The thing about Esteban Florial, and I think the center field and shortstop situations are intertwined because of Freeman's big spring and the fact that nobody has jumped and grabbed the shortstop job. And really nobody has jumped and grabbed the center field job. Florial had a nice weekend. He had his first homer and a couple hits, but he was striking out 50% of the time. But on the other hand, with Florial, you traded Cody Morris, who's a depth arm that, by the way, they need right now. If they still had him, they traded him. So I am of the opinion that it's going to be Florial's going to play a lot more center than we think. Straw's the fallback, but Florial's making the team. So don't think he's not. They traded a major league arm for him.
Yeah.
He's making the team. So anybody who said, oh, he's having a terrible spring, let him have a terrible April and then get rid of him, because that also goes into another conversation that I know you want to have, which involves Kyle Manzardo and service time. So I give you the floor, or do you want to?
I don't want to hog the mic, but here's the thing. You know, Terry Pluto wrote about it this weekend. I listened to the Selby is Godcast. I listened to Locked On Guardians with Jeff and Justin. I'm listening to everything. I'm listening to us right now. But all signs point to a April 19th debut date for Kyle Manzardo based on service time. And, you know, they can say, well, we want him to, the cold weather. Well, last I checked, Oakland's not going to be cold and Seattle's not going to be cold to start the year. Now, Minnesota, Chicago, sure. But like, they're going to manipulate this, because even Pluto wrote it over the weekend, and you know, he's semi locked in, he's not going to start the year here. And the guy gets out of bed and hits. It's an embarrassment. Like, don't you want your best players right away? The games on March 28th and March 29th count just as much as the games on July 5th and August 8th. So, and May 24th. So like, it just doesn't make any sense.
What a great day that is, May 24th.
Hard evidence.
Bartolo Colon's birthday.
So that's where I just think it sucks, because I think Kyle Manzardo should be hitting fifth on opening day. And instead he's going to be, down by the Raising Cane's in Columbus. So
yeah, sucks. You know what? Here's the thing is, they went out of their way to draft in the Rule 5 Davison De Los Santos, who they want to succeed as a right-handed power bat, but he's 20 years old. He has never played above double A. He strikes out a ton, but he's got that power that they're looking for. And he's the one eating up the roster spot that's necessary for Manzardo. I'm not defending the move. I mean, if you're serious about winning, then Kyle Manzardo is playing every day from the start, rotating between first base and DH with Naylor.
Amen.
That's just a fact.
Amen.
But The other thing is, and I heard Zach and TJ talk about this, is why aren't they going and trying to extend him and buying that year out and then playing him every day?
That's not what they do.
But they do
with Andre Jimenez, because Andre Jimenez was an all-star the year before. They're not doing it with Manzardo, even though they could tell you they love him, and they do. They're not going to be the only team that does this, but it's just with us, it always gets magnified. The fan base gets upset, and because it's been done numerous times.
But here's what I don't understand.
Other than Kwan.
Here's what I don't understand. New ownership group is in place and coming soon, right? So the Manzardo extension, they're not paying the whole bill. You know what I mean? So, like, what do they care? Unless Antonetti and Chernoff are like, we don't want to extend him yet. We want to see him do it. It's a risk to extend someone like that who's never succeeded at the major league level. Absolutely. I get that. But sometimes you got to take that risk. I mean, the Pirates did it with Key Brian Hayes. Look at what the Brewers just gave Chorio. Chirino.
Yeah, the unnamed team did it with Cole Keith too.
Yes, exactly. They're all extending these guys to buy them because they know they're gonna, right? You know, they're looking at it as a
deal.
Can't miss.
They're affordable deals. They're not. I mean, they're like Miles Straw type deals. Like, I think Zach wrote in the Athletic today, if you extended like Josh Naylor now, it would almost be like a 5 at 55, and you'd get him for 11 a year. That's affordable as opposed to somebody like that hitting the open market or whatever.
I don't think Naylor's taken 5 and 55 either, but you know, but you know, who knows? But yeah,
I can't drive.
Yeah, I don't understand the thinking if you're serious about winning. Now, if they're saying publicly, listen, this is an evaluation year, we're gonna see how it goes. That's one thing, but they're like, we have the rotation. We can compete to win the division.
Sure.
Then why are you going to give away at bats in April when you could lose the division by one or two games because you were too cheap to bring Kyle Manzardo up and start him right away? Instead, we're trying 4A Florial with these at bats. You know, you're got Davison De Los Santos, who you have no idea if he can even handle the major leagues at age 20, getting at bats potentially. David Fry, will he make the team? At least BGD is a good bench player, and I can.
He's gonna make the team. The point is, you could do a whole big. All right, let me take a step back and say, first 3 weeks of spring training, who have been the best two hitters on this team? You could make the argument for Chase DeLauder and Kyle Manzardo. Then you say, okay, what's the biggest issue with the Guardians? Well, the bullpen, which we'll get into because of all the injuries. Front end of the rotation, not an issue. But how are they going to score runs? And two guys that have been the best hitters. And again, they're spring games. I get it. But still, if they look the part, I'm not saying keep DeLauder up here. It's not happening. Chernoff kind of went on some radio show and said that. But like the Manzardo thing is just a head scratcher, because if Florial's not hitting, Arias isn't hitting, Rocchio's not hitting, and you're not sure about some of the others, then why wouldn't you want to keep, you know, Mash Zardo on the roster? And instead he's going to start at Columbus. And I think that blows. De Los Santos, I don't think is making it. I think they're going to send him back.
You think they're going to get rid of him?
I don't see it. It'd
be one thing if you knew that you could keep him and play him in the minors and teach him how to play outfield or something like that. But his spot on the roster doesn't make sense. Like, you know, when Trevor Stephan was a Rule 5 guy,
it was very easy to hit him for a full year. I mean, he pitched.
But my point is, I was going to say, when you have your last man in the bullpen pitching mop-up duty, you can do it. But like on a team where you have no idea who's good and who's not, to have a guy learning on the job, it's a waste of time and a waste of a roster spot. Like, I would personally, and I'm sure they have, gone to Arizona and said, what is it going to take to trade and keep this guy?
We'll send him back and then we'll trade. And then that's possible. That could happen.
I hope it does. I really do. But I mean, they obviously see something. I can't even remember. When was the last time they took a position player in the Rule 5 draft? I can remember when we were kids, Eddie Williams was taken in the,
in
the Rule 5 draft, but I don't remember.
Little number 24.
Yeah. I don't remember any Rule 5 guy from, you know, that stuck around.
I remember the unnamed team recently.
Badu, Akil Badu.
No, Victor Reyes. It actually was Badu and Reyes. But Reyes, they really hid for a while and, you know, barely played. And then they tried, and it just, he's not a major league player. He's a 4A player.
Yeah.
De Los Santos is only 20. He's had some moments. He had a couple home runs. But, like, keeping him on the roster, no. I mean, you're going to have Brennan. You're going to have Ramon. You're going to have Straw. Freeman could be out there. You might be keeping Arias and, well, no, you wouldn't keep Arias and Rocchio.
No, one of those two is going. Florial is making the team.
So, yeah, and Florial. So you got too many guys.
Yeah.
And you got the three, and Fry's one of your three catchers. So unless there's some sort of injury, and look, Florial has been hitting the last few days. So that's been a good sign. So you want to see what you have in him, because you gave up, like you said, Morris for him. Not Zach Morris, Cody Morris. And, thank you. And, you know, and you got to, you're gonna have to play Straw at some point. He's not just going to sit there and rot. He's
well, Straw is
late inning defensive replacement, and yeah, occasionally probably playing against, some lefties.
Yeah. I, and which I understand, you know, I don't see where the fit is with De Los Santos. I just don't. And
no,
again, if you're serious, I come back to it again. If you are serious about winning right away, Kyle Manzardo starts every day from the beginning. By the way, OPSs this spring, Manzardo 934 and DeLauder 1387, my friend. That is pretty impressive stuff. Big Game Dave is at 898.
What's his WRC plus?
That's another pod.
Oh my god!
We'll stick you know, to Seinfeld, I really inside like, jokes.
I really like TJ. I know he listens.
I do too.
And I had him on the fan a few weeks ago,
and he was great.
But I have to bust his chops on that WRC plus because he's obsessed with it.
He's obsessed with it like Terry Pluto's obsessed with batting average.
Oh my god! Here were his stats at Double A last year, dude. We can go on Baseball Reference and look him up. Stop. Make it
Double
stop.
A.
The Arias thing is really disappointing. So last night I'm listening. I'm driving home last night, and I got the game on. And Hammy sounds great.
Can we talk about the fact that 10 people are listening and you're one of the 10? I mean, you are the best.
It was on Sirius XM 89. I had checked it earlier in the day.
Let me tell you fans of this podcast something. Nobody loves their guards quite like my brother. Nobody. Right. I love the team. I'm spending the cash to go down to those games. This guy doesn't even live in town. He doesn't miss a pitch, and he does a podcast talking about this team. I mean, if you only knew how busy my brother is to fit this in. I mean, guys, I'm unbelievable. He loves his team.
Last night, you and I had some very important phone calls we were making, and it was interrupting my listening time.
I know.
I was rewinding, going back to because Hammy and Rosie last night were just awesome. Like, they were just – Hammy then was busting on Rosie for something about golf, and then Hammy got into his shout-outs when he starts, how about Keith Dambrot? He was going – he loves college basketball.
Well, he loves college sports. Come on, you know that.
Rob Senderoff at Kent State and how he felt for the kid that did the foul.
Oh, it was terrible. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, it was so bad. I felt
what a job John Gross has done at Akron. He's like 2-2 pitch, fouled off. John Gross. it was great.
Listen, there's nothing better in the summer than when Hammy goes on his half-inning rants about college baseball.
College baseball.
He loves that. He loves that.
He loves telling those. What was the guy's name at LSU? Skip something?
Skip Bertman.
He loves going on that tangent. He was coaching then Joey Bell back in the day. And so he just goes into those, but it was great. But Hammy, so Arias comes up. We're bashing some left-handed pitcher, Williamson from the Reds. Every at bat is good. Guys are taking walks. We had a couple of walks that forced in runs. And Hammy's like, these at bats are great. He goes, here's Gabe Arias. And first pitch swinging, little looping fly ball to right. And he's like, you see, he goes, Rosie, you see, that's what they've been talking about with him. Plate discipline. Why would you? And he's just like, why would you swing at that first pitch? It was great. It was great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but that's
Arias took another O for last night.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's March 18th and they have no idea about shortstop. You're right. It might just be Freeman.
I mean, it's a, if this is what's going to give the team the best chance to win and bat wise. I mean, it's not like Freeman's some butcher at short. I mean, yeah, Arias is a supreme defender, but come on, let's be real here. Arias is not an everyday shortstop. He can't hit.
I know. It's a problem. He can't
hit. By the way, were you listening in the eighth when the mailman went deep for the Reds last night?
I did, because what happened was they brought in Eli Morgan. And so Hammy's giving his stats and everything. And he's like, first pitch swinging, he goes, fly ball. Oh, that's way out of here. Man. If Eli Morgan is one of our high leverage relievers, this is going to be a long season.
Tim Herron struck out the side in the ninth last
year. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was blowing people away. So that's good.
I mean, in here, I think this is a good segue into the biggest issue on the club is the bullpen. So in this last, since we last spoke to you, your key setup man, Trevor Stephan, needs elbow surgery, out for the year. And your best left-handed power arm, who was going to move into a high, more of a high leverage role, Sam Hentges, has a, what do they call it? Swollen finger? Is that what they were saying?
Swollen finger on his pitch.
And they don't know when he's going to be ready.
No.
So that basically leaves you with Scott Barlow in front of Manny Class A. And who friggin' knows after that? Like, truly.
No.
You got Nick Sandlin, who great against righties, but he's, you know, against lefties, extremely vulnerable. Eli Morgan is Eli Morgan, you know.
Eli Morgan, I've been paying attention, has been basically throwing batting practice this spring.
But that's what he throws. That's the thing.
I mean, that's a you can't bring somebody in that every outing, every appearance, he gives up a home run. That's an issue.
Yeah.
Especially with a team that doesn't score a lot of runs. You know, God bless him. I mean, when Eli first came up and they moved him to the pen, because he was obviously a starter in the minor leagues. I mean, he was good, but he's not fooling anybody right now.
No, he's not. But I mean, at least you know he's got some major league experience, but he's not a high leverage guy. So with that, also 99, he's injured and he's not going to be back anytime soon.
By the way, Jeff Ellis on Lockdown Guardians also refers to him as 99. Shout out, Jeff.
That's my bit. But Jeff's allowed to use it. You know what? Anyone who uses 99 is a good person in my book.
Jeff's the man. So who we got? We got Cade Smith. We got Ben Lively. Where else are we going?
Well, they sent Franco Alemán.
Alemán's not going to start.
So you have Tyler Beede.
Oh, yeah. Well, he could be the fifth starter the way he pitched the other day.
Well, the big thing that I have heard is that they've basically moved Hunter Gaddis into a bullpen role. And with that, hearing that makes me think he's making the team. You know, it's wide open out there.
He could actually be a nice one inning come in.
He's got two pitches.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It didn't work as a starter. We saw, I mean, if you can go back to that poor kid when he had to start against the Astros, you were there. Was that 2 years ago? The emergency
two seasons ago. Yes.
Start. We're bringing up Gaddis.
We were very excited. You and I were very excited. I think
did he get an out? I mean, he was wetting his pants.
I think he gave up two home. Oh, I felt so bad for him.
It was so bad. The Astros were like, oh, fastball only? Watch this. You know,
That was the World Series champion team. So that was that was quite an interesting thing. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you're basically
I'm down for Gaddis in the pen.
Okay, so here are some of your non-roster guys who have been pitching. I looked this up. So what about Anthony Gose, baby? Please. Your boy.
No.
Tyler Beede.
Yeah.
You said he threw five scoreless the other day?
Yes, against the Royals.
Okay. I'd like to talk about the Royals, actually.
That's right.
Jaime Barria?
No.
That's a hard no. What about Nick Enright, the pride of UVA, Matt Grossman's squad?
Isn't he kind of a ham and egger?
You love that term. I still don't know what it means. Okay. Carlos Carrasco looks like
velocity's been an issue.
Yeah.
He's just old. God love him. I want him to be on the team. I mean, he'd be great for morale and he's a leader, but
yeah,
you know, I see a lot of contact in those box scores.
Yeah. It's,
you haven't named the guy that I'm high on yet.
Tanner Burns.
I tell you what about Tanner. Moving Tanner, who's 25, out of the rotation. Remember, he was in the Akron rotation last year, and he was bad, but he was a high draft pick. Is he on the 40-man? I don't think he is.
drink. He is not.
That dude, there's something about Tanner Burns. And then I'm intrigued, but I don't think he'll start.
The guy who's going to get the big role, it sounds to me, is Cade Smith.
Well, that's who I think is ready.
Yeah.
He's making
it. And then Tim Herron, those two guys. I feel like it's going to be, to start the season, Gattis, Herron, and Cade Smith are all going to be on the roster. And Lively's out of options, so he's going to make it. So that's four, okay? I'm counting those four. We're going to go in it. So then you got Classe,
Manny,
Barlow. That's six.
Yep.
And then you need two more relievers.
Curry.
Sandlin and Morgan.
Yeah.
And then the fifth starter is going to have to be either Beattie or Curry.
Yeah.
So they may keep Beattie as the fifth starter until Gavin Williams is ready and send down Curry and keep him, you know, on regular turn, which I think they're going to end up doing. And the Carrasco story would be great, but if he's not throwing hard and he's having a, you know, mediocre spring, are they going to carry him and add him to the 40 man? I mean,
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.
By the way, I'm going to give you a name for later in the summer. Andrew Walters.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out.
He's lefty, right? Left-hander?
I think he's right-handed, isn't he?
Zach Walters?
No. Andrew.
Do you remember him? No.
Yes.
No.
Zach Walters was the catcher.
Zach Walters. No, he wasn't a catcher. He played shortstop. Dang. He was number six. He was a good-looking kid. He hit a walk-off homer against the Diamondbacks. Not remember this?
Yeah. I do. Yeah, Zach Walters, yes.
He was the Andrew Walters for like 5 seconds.
Andrew Walters we drafted recently. And he could, that's a guy to keep an eye on. Not yet. But
I mean, Zach Walters looked, he was 2015. I just looked, he looked like Grady Sizemore.
Yes. But this is an issue. I mean, look, it puts an immense amount of pressure on Barlow and Classe. It really does. Because, you know, if you go back the last 2 years, the amount of close games this team played, the one run games, the having to exhaust the bullpen. Stefan, you knew, would not be as bad as he was a year ago. He just had a bad, he wanted to flush last year, and you feel sorry for him now because now it's going to be on his, I mean, his head now. For, I mean, he's not going to be back. He won't start the year or next year. Neither will Espino.
I was going to say Espino.
No way they'll be ready for next year at the start of next year.
Listening to a couple of different things and reading a couple of different things, and then I talked to someone on the inside who essentially said that surgery that Espino has is like a death sentence for pitchers.
That sucks.
I mean, and what I also heard is at best 2025 for him. And if he does come back, he'll probably end up being a reliever because there's no way he can put that kind of, I mean, he's got the build. I mean, he's a jacked guy.
Oh yeah.
But it's not looking good for him long term, unfortunately.
Yeah, Zach Meisel was talking on their show about he's an Adonis.
Yeah, he's pretty jacked.
Oh, it's just too bad. Doubt. I mean, it's a bad luck. I mean, he puts himself in great shape and he's now had his third surgery? I mean, this is ridiculous. But again,
I said to you the day we found out he was out for the season, this is Adam Miller all over again. And
well, let's hope the Hinchis injury isn't the Adam Miller injury because Adam Miller's finger could never get right.
Never the same. Right. But with Adam Miller, he was supposed to be the future. That was the guy. And he was
the Atom Bomb.
They called him Adam Miller, ATOM, like the Adams College Adams, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. So it is a mess. And there's nothing there's nothing worse than a bad bullpen. And it kills seasons, and I'm very, very concerned about this bullpen right now.
I am too, but I think with the depth that we have, like, it's not like we're sitting here going, wait a minute, we have to move Hunter Gaddis. He's our sixth starter. He's not, you know, there's some depth there. Curry can start. Beedy was, remember, a first round pick years ago by the Giants, went to Japan last year, reestablished and redeveloped his arsenal. Maybe that five innings the other day was racky tack. Rest in peace, Jim Price. But there's just a lot of, I don't know, there are some options there. You know, let's say Curry, Cantillo. So there's options. It's not like this is a dead issue. And I also think we need to talk about this. I mean, the way Shane Bieber pitched last night and how he's looked this spring. I mean, he looks like a guy in a contract year looking to get paid. This is at least that's how he looks so far. And McKenzie looks pretty good too. So that's a good sign.
Yes. For sure. McKenzie does look good. And that is a very good sign. You know, I don't know what I would do if I were them, but if Beedy continues down this path that he's had so far in the spring, like, why not make him the fifth starter? You know, I mean, I know you're going to have to add him to the 40 man, but I just looked up his so far. He's pitched 10 innings, 10 and two thirds. He's given up 2 runs, 10 strikeouts and 10 and two thirds and 4 walks. So, you know, 10 hits is a lot of hits, but why not? You know, I don't know. I mean, like, really, I just don't know at this point what to do there until hopefully the Gavin Williams thing is he misses a start or 2 starts and that's it. And then it won't be a problem, but you don't know. I mean, April, the weather gets cold. There's a lot of rainouts. You know, you're able to skip here and there also. So it's just, I don't remember a year. I think that we have been so blessed with so many good bullpens year after year after year that we kind of forget what it's like to have all those question marks in the bullpen.
Yeah.
This takes you back to that year where I want to say it was like, it may have been like, oh, I think I was still living in Chicago. I want to say it was like 2002-03-ish. And it was like, hey, Matt Hurgis is pitching the eighth. Yeah. And then Jose Aquino. And you know, and they were just like throwing guys up against the wall and see who's gonna, you know, it was so bad. Jose Santiago, you know, it was bad and they couldn't figure it out. And this is another one I just thought of. Do you remember it was the summer? It must have been 06. Fausto Carmona, they like all of a sudden made him the closer and he blew like 3 saves in a row, including 2 in Boston on back-to-back nights. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah. He wasn't ready for it. He wasn't a reliever.
Yeah. So I got a bad feeling.
Carl Sadler,
the sad daddy, 52. That's a good one.
I know. I set you up for that one.
Love Carl Sadler.
Oh my God.
I can play this
Chad
game all day long.
Baronto on
Chad
that
Baronto. Oh yeah. Great call. That's a good one, yeah. What about Jack?
Speaking
Creston?
Of great calls, yeah,
Jack Creston, Jackie C. Again, I could do this all day.
I know. That's a pathetic.
We won't, but yeah.
Tell it. So, what's going on? Rise and Grind Fitness. It's taken off. I've seen teams now. You got teams there, youth teams.
Yes, absolutely. Listen, if you're a coach of a high school team or a middle school team and you want a good workout / bonding experience, go to riseandgrind.com, RYZE, hit us up. I just had a middle school girls lacrosse team come in and do a bike boot camp. It was great. I am doing work with high school track teams where we go to the school and we are doing body weight workouts. We're doing weight workouts. We're doing running. We're doing rowing, assault bikes, all that stuff. You name it. It's available to you. And then of course our signature group fitness classes that we have here at Rise and Grind, you know, whether it's a cycle class or regular boot camp, bar, yoga, you know, interval training. You know, I had my brother and the lovely missus out for an event, And they came out and they killed it, these two. I was very impressed with your ability.
I wasn't even in shape at that point. But
and now you're like,
oh, I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to get there.
Let's see. Take your shirt off. Let's see it.
That's not happening. But yes. What about Hawk and Lacrosse? We'll get Big 12 in there. Let's go.
I know. You know what? We should. Maybe Big 12, Molly, can get on the horn with Coach Prime. And I could work with the CU football team or whatever Tad Boyle's club, the CU basketball team playing in the first four.
I mean, they're going to be passing by Cleveland to get to Dayton. So
that's
let's go.
Might as well stop in for a workout. Oh, come on. Man. All Tristan right. DeSilva. He's good. I'll bring him in.
Wow. Now you're name dropping there. Yeah. Let's bring Sean Vandiver. Is he still alive?
Sean Vandiver is the head coach at Emporia State.
Is he really?
Yes.
Wow. That's a Colorado legend right there.
What about Donnie Boyce?
All right. Right.
Off
by
the
way,
rails.
Breaking T t-shirts, breakingt.com/dairy. Look, the season's in 10 days. You want that Jose Ramirez shirt, Shane Bieber, Josh Naylor, the Naylor shirt that Leah always wears. Let's check that out at breakingt.com/dairy. Even if you want another team or a sport or whatever, Zick's executive producer was saying, just go to the link first at breakingt.com/dairy. Takes you to the Cleveland collection, but then you can go shop anywhere else. And it is fantastic for all the shirts and gear. Go to Breaking Tea t-shirts. And of course the, go ahead.
I was just going to say one thing about Breaking Tea. Like, they're so fast with their stuff. I mean, right now, this last week of the conference tournaments, you know, NC State won 5 games in 5 days to go to the NCAA tournament. They have, I'm on the site now, the Legend of DJ Burns t-shirt, Stuffed the Stuff t-shirt. You know, when the three goggles NC State basketball t-shirt. I'm just saying, they come up with stuff so unbelievably fast, and they just got cool stuff. Like, I don't know if you've seen that t-shirt that I got. It says the grass is always green, is green in Eugene or something. It's awesome. It's just a cool t-shirt.
They're going to next hour, they're going to have an orange shirt that says a Syracuse, we decline for not taking the NIT bid.
And Indiana, every school that you watch, they are NIT bound except KU, and we stink.
That's true. And Michigan, I watch Michigan, but they were
also stink. You can get a Steeler fans get a Yinz Russ We Trust t-shirt.
Yeah, there you go.
That was made. I'm sure that's a hot seller now that they got Justin Fields.
What a circus down there in Pittsburgh. My God, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Good luck with that.
Yeah, should be cool.
By the way, Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben Hornstein. Look, the guy is the best dentist in town. Dr. Sean.
In town, in the United States.
Country. CFAD.net if you're looking for a new dentist. All right, what else we got? So we're 10 days away. Shortstop thing still up in the air. I love seeing that rookie game or whatever they called it, the prospect spotlight thing on Saturday where both DeLauder and Manzardo hit. So at least there's reinforcements coming. I know there's been a lot of talk about some extensions. Should they extend Josh Naylor right now? Should they extend Tanner Bibee right now? And just, I mean, the Naylor thing to me is a no-brainer. And I hope those discussions are going on, Todd, because that's the heart and soul of this ball club.
I don't understand lots of things about this franchise. I don't know what they're thinking about with Naylor. I mean, to me, not only is he a great, you know, he's an extremely great player on the field. Everyone in that clubhouse loves him. He's a leader. His brother is locked in for the long term at catcher. Why wouldn't you, even from a PR standpoint, hitch your wagon to this guy? He's so popular. I mean, let's talk about 2 years ago.
Does the organization care about PR? I don't think they care.
Probably not. But no, let's go back 2 years with Naylor. Remember in the playoffs, it was like every time they would just bring in a left-handed reliever to face him and he couldn't hit lefties. And we're like, oh, he's going to be a platoon player. Can't hit lefties. Can't hit lefties. And then last year he started off the season in April. I think he was like 1 for 20 against lefties to start. And then all of a sudden he was great. against lefties. And now you can play him every day and it doesn't matter. And he's really figured it out. Guy worked so hard to come back from that devastating leg injury. And he's the heart and soul of the team, like you said.
He's the man. You know you're putting him at cleanup no matter what. I mean, like, unless they move everybody up in the order and there's that been that Jose talk at hitting second. I, for one, would be hitting Tyler Freeman second against lefties and maybe Jimenez second against righties. I saw Jimenez hit second last night, actually against a lefty. And he and Kwan were getting on base. But regardless, you know you're penciling Naylor in at three or four regardless. Every day. Every day.
Yeah. It's the extension for Naylor to me is something that I would definitely look into. I mean, you're not going to break the bank for him or anything like that, but you know what? It's a smart play. Just do it. I mean, he's still, what is he? 26, 20. I think he's 25 or 26. I think he's 26.
Naylor.
Not like he's old. Older. They got him when he was 22.
That's true.
Yeah. So there's that. I am still extremely concerned about the overall health of the offense. I'm trying to stay as positive as I can, and it was leaning on the pitching, and that was going to be the way to go. But with the bullpen the way it is and Gavin Williams not starting the season on the injured list, it's going to be tough. Yeah. So, you know, just looking at the early schedule, you know, you're obviously starting out west with Oakland and Seattle and Minnesota on your way back home. But you never know who's good and who's not. That's the other thing. And in April, it's all, every game seems like it's going to be 3-2. So I hope that it doesn't turn into another one of these seasons though, where it's every single game is close and Barlow and Class A have to pitch in every single game that's close, because we talked about the bullpen earlier, but I just don't know where you go when your starters are early on in the season, you're building them up. I mean, it's not like Shane Bieber and Tristan McKenzie and Logan Allen, you know, right out of the gates are going to be, hey, 7 innings, 8 innings, 6, you know what I mean? It's going to be 5 and 6 mostly.
I think you're right. If opening night in Oakland, Shane Bieber against, what's his nuts, JP Sears or whatever, we'll see a lefty right out of the chute, of course. But it'll be the Ramon Laureano revenge tour. But anyway, so
oh, yeah.
You know, and Bieber, you're right. Let's say he's at 75, 80 pitches after 6. I mean, all right, who's pitching the 7th? Sandlin? That's my guess.
Probably.
Right? So well,
it will be interesting because the one thing is that there is a new manager. So yes. he probably doesn't know. I mean, he's watching, but like there's not that built in history of trust factor.
He's going to lean on Carl Willis. Carl Willis is going to make the call.
That's true too.
You know,
at thank least God at Carl stuck around. I mean, that was big, a big deal.
It is a big deal. By the way, Stephen Kwan, I think is going to have a breakout year. Not that he hasn't had a breakout year yet, because 2 years ago was kind of breakout, but I think last year was regression. I'm smelling progression this year.
Okay, good. Well, they need it. I mean, someone's got to, you know, get on base in front of Jose.
You know, I sense that. I think there were some times last year he was pressing, but
yeah,
because other guys were pressing and because he's so mature for his age, I think Tito's like, I know I can just roll him out there every day. And now I think the lineup's definitely better. You know, I mean, we're starting the year with a really big threat at catcher, which when was the last time we've had that?
Victor Martinez.
It's been a while.
Jan Gomes in his prime.
I mean, Roberto in the 16 playoffs, but that's, you know, so.
I think Roberto hit 25 homers 1 year.
That's possible.
Am I making that up?
Did he retire? Is he done?
I think he retired.
I mean, when you go unless to Pittsburgh, you kind of retire.
Yeah. Roberto Perez. Let's see. Current team, San Francisco Giants last year. He may have retired. Oh, wait, no. Boston Red Sox add catching depth with Roberto Perez.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are they doing up in Boston? That is a bizarre situation.
It's very bizarre.
It's almost like they just threw their hands up like, well, we're in the AL East, so we'll just hope people come out to the park and call it a day. Like,
I was listening to Tim Kirchner on some podcast, and he made a comment to the effect of their ownership group kind of made this decision that this is, you know, they're involved, you know, that Fenway Sports Group, there's a lot of other pieces in there. And it's kind of like, all of a sudden it's become second nature that the baseball team is not important to them anymore. And soccer is more important.
That's just terrible.
I'm looking up this can't be right. I was looking up, MLB.
But you're looking up Roberto Perez's stats?
See how many home runs he hit.
As career high?
Yeah. Nicknamed Bebo.
Good times with that man.
I loved him. Awesome. I loved him.
Awesome.
Yeah. Seriously. He could play. When he was on, first of all, nobody ran on him. The guy was an unbelievable back there. What a cannon for an arm. Handled the staff.
Game one home run against the Red Sox in 16, man. Just kind of set the table for the whole playoffs.
And my dude could handle a staff. I was right. 2019, he had 24 homers.
Wow. That's awesome.
So there you go. What else?
All right. This is it for us. We gotta be back next week with this is the season. Next week is the season premiere or the season preview show, I guess you could say. We'll probably know the rosters and figure it all out.
We're gonna have to figure out what we're gonna do on recording, because I'll be a Springer break looking at colleges with your nephew
next week.
Yeah, Springer break.
All right. Well, we'll
yeah. Don't go to Rise and Grind Fitness next week if you're looking for my class. I won't be there. But we'll have to figure something out.
All right.
You know, obviously we can do it from the laptop, but I will not have the microphone, which sounds great, by the way.
It does. You sound microphone. Good.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, waitingfornextyear.com is where you can find us. The Evergreen Podcast Network, Rise and Grind Fitness, Breaking Tea t-shirts. And of course, check out the Center for Advanced Dentistry, CFAD.net. Keep an eye on everything going on with this Guardians roster. Could there be some sort of deal happening here with all the middle infielders, or do we just collect them and put them up on the wall? We are out of room and out of here.
Don't you know that you're a grown up?
I'm a grown up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days being a grown up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right. I've never done it. No, right.